Welcome, 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 welcome on in. It is the Atlanta Falcons Flyover. I am your host and steward, Chris Thomas. Happy to be here with you following the third and final preseason game of the season for the Falcons, where they were in Dallas at Jerry's World taking on the Cowboys. And oh boy, it was not exactly a pretty affair, especially in the first half, for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll cover all of that. We'll cover the biggest story of the week, obviously Caleb McGarry going down with an apparent leg injury, and the non-update updates we've been receiving from the team and from social media and from everybody else, very cryptic as to what's going on with the starting right tackle. We know backup tackle Storm Norton is going to miss at least 6 to 8 weeks. He had surgery on his ankle. So there's a lot going on with the Atlanta Falcons as they wrap up the preseason against the Cowboys. And now all sights are set on Tampa Bay and the Bucs in week one. And what that matchup is going to look like is now significantly different based on the news that we get about Caleb McGarry. And we'll get into all of that. But first, just to recap some of the highlights and lowlights from the game. The offensive line, which is something that we're going to talk about extensively until, who knows, until there's a solution to this problem. It could be weeks, it could be months before this situation is eventually settled and one of Caleb McGarry or Storm Norton is back in the fray. Again, we know Norton's timetable. We don't know Caleb McGarry's timetable. So when you look at this game, you were looking at a couple of different guys. Elijah Wilkinson, well, we didn't see him. So all intents and purposes there, he was held out because you can't lose your third string guy, right? You lost your first string guy and your second string guy for an indeterminate amount of time. So you can't lose your third string guy too. So it was Jack Nelson and it was Brandon Parker, the guys who got the duties. Now, interestingly enough, Mike Johnson on Twitter, our host of the pre, half, and post game show on the Atlanta Falcons radio network, he astutely pointed out that they switched roles, that for most of the preseason, Jack Nelson manned the right side while Parker manned the left. And tonight they switched. So he alluded to the fact that that's probably in an effort to find out who's going to replace Norton, because they now need a backup swing tackle with Norton out at least 6 to 8 weeks. So where does that leave the team? Well, if you watch tonight, it's a big fat nope, because it did not look good again. There were spurts where the offensive line put it together and Easton Stick back there was able to unleash some passes and look representative again. I thought he played pretty well. He was under duress a lot. The Dallas Cowboys were bringing heat. They were bringing pressure. And time again, he was forced into a quick-moving, tightening pocket that he had to throw the ball probably a lot sooner than he wanted to. And that's been a theme that we've seen, unfortunately, all postseason long. I'm not entirely sure what the issue is. Is it just the depth is not there and the skill level of the guys that we have maybe aren't as high as initially thought? It could be a myriad of reasons. I mean, everybody, listen, here's the thing, though. We have to all keep this in mind, too, right? Everybody is trying to make a roster. So these guys for the Dallas Cowboys that are out there, too, they're giving max effort, and they're trying to make the roster or show out for another team. But still, I don't think it's an effort thing. I really think it's a talent thing. And when it comes down to it, if you grade the overall performance of the offensive line reserves in the preseason because the starters never played, it's very poor. And that's the harsh reality. And when you couple that with the situation of Storm Norton and Caleb McGarry facing injury situations, you're going to really be in the hole. And that's an unfortunate reality that the Atlanta Falcons are looking at unless they go out there and they try to make some moves. I thought Nathan Carter, you know, he showed his typical burst and electricity that he's been showing, but there weren't a lot of holes. You saw a lot of receiving yards from Chris Blair again, from Nash again. So a lot of the same guys, it seems like Easton Stick has developed good rapport and good chemistry with, were in the mix again, but I just felt bad for him at certain points tonight. He was a deer in the headlights, and it wasn't his fault. He had nowhere to throw the ball. He had, by my count, at least two, maybe three, maybe even more than that, passes that, quite frankly, should have been intercepted. And the fact that they weren't, one of them was called back on a procedure penalty. Another one was just tipped. Another one, the guy dove and he just couldn't secure the ball. So he was throwing the ball, trying to throw into tight windows with the pocket collapsing around him. And that's just not an easy thing to do. So I don't think anything happened tonight for Easton Stick that's going to manipulate his spot on the roster as the third quarterback. Again, it's more about the offensive line. It's more about what is the depth situation there. The Falcons, well, they have a couple of options, right? Cut day's coming next week. So we'll find out who makes the official 53-man roster for the Falcons and then for every other team in the NFL as well, right? So what's going to happen? Is there somebody that's going to shake loose? Because make no mistake about it, the Atlanta Falcons have scouted every team in the league. They know who's on which roster. It may not be, you know, every player. They know their height and weight and combine, you know, records, but they know who's out there potentially. Is there a guy that's going to shake loose from a team that they feel like can come in and at minimum compete for the backup swing tackle job? Or is there somebody that can come in there that they feel like maybe even could start? I don't think you're making a trade for an offensive lineman. I guess you could. We saw the Jets make a trade for a couple of defensive linemen this week for some late round picks. So I guess it's not off the table. Or you can try to work with what you got. But quite frankly, I'm just not entirely sure that's good enough. I'm just not entirely sure that Elijah Wilkinson, Nelson, I don't think he's going to make the team. Parker, I'm not sure he'll make the team either. Those options are not competitive options, really, when you look at it. So what are the Falcons going to do if Caleb McGarry needs to miss a significant amount of time? Well, they need to make a move. I don't think the door number two that we just talked about is a realistic thing. I don't think trying to work with what you got in-house is a real option, but I get it at the same time, not playing Wilkinson today. Although, you can make the argument, the dude certainly needed the reps, right? He certainly needed to go out there and prove that Falcons fans maybe can relax a little bit if he went out there and had a dominant performance. But Raheem Morris, if he's not anything, he's consistent, and he knows that the value of not having the starters play to him is well worth mitigating the injury risk and mitigating what could be potential disaster scenarios, given what we've seen, not just in Falcons games with Mo Norris in week one and Caleb McGarry now in practice. And he's decided to weigh all of his options and say, listen, as an NFL coach, my responsibility is to try to field the best team out there and make the most competitive product week in and week out. And by resting his starters, he feels like the work they got in the preseason, the work that they got in practice, the work that they got in the joint practices specifically, outweighs the value of putting them in an actual game. They've been out there for weeks at this point. So they feel like, you know, going against good on good, as they like to call it, which is Falcon on Falcon, and then the two joint practices with Tennessee were enough of a sample size to say, hey, the guys that I'm deeming as starters, I feel like they're good. We did see Younghoe Koo kick tonight, mixed bag, but he's been good in the preseason, and I think that competition was over a couple of weeks ago, but it'll be interesting to see him get back in live game action. And we know Lenny Krieg has the booming leg, but I think the plan is for him to try to make waivers and then get on that practice squad as the international signing, and he'll rest there, and then we'll see what happens with Younghoe Koo. But for now, his job to lose. Coming up next, we'll continue the Falcons conversation on the Falcons flyover. You're listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas Turtle with you until the top of the hour.
Raheem, the general fan will see at home and say, yeah, hey, I don't see Michael Penix out there. I don't see Jesse Bates out there. Tell them the value of what you just saw tonight.
You know, it was a lot of tough spots at the end of the roster, and those guys had to go out there and decide that tonight. So whether you're talking about special teams or you're talking about being able to help on offense or defense, guys were out there fighting for their, you know, livelihood to be able to be a Falcon. And those are things that you love. Those are things you like about it. But at the end of the day, man, there'll be a lot of tough decisions tomorrow and over the course of the next couple of days, and that we got to make for our team and for our football team to go try to win our first game.
How important was it for you to see some of the things that I know you worked on this week in practice, whether it's D. Alford, who's a really good nickel for you, play some corner, Natron Brooks switches from corner and plays nickel, returns some kicks for you. There was a number of those things on tonight.
There was a bunch of those things to be able to go out there and increase some of our value. To be able to go see people, be able to move around, what they can do if they're not in their normal spots. So to being able to see Brooks and the versatility that he brings to the game, along with Alfred and some of those other guys that are going to be out there playing for us this year when we play meaningful games, was something that we love to be able to get a chance to watch. Whether you're a receiver playing a Z or an F or an X or doing different things, those are all the things that we value. Those are all the things that gives value to our football team that we want to see.
What's the time frame now for you guys now as you settle in and start hunkering down and trying to figure out who these guys are going to be on your team?
You know, obviously tomorrow we'll go back and do our normal process. We'll look at the tape. We'll be able to grade it. We'll be able to talk to these guys in the appropriate manner in the next couple of days. You know, getting with Terry, getting with our other scouts, getting with our coaches, making all the important decisions that have to be made as far as the football team and being able to really lock in and zero in on those things, what we need to do to try to go win.
All right, last thing for you. I know it's a business scenario, but you develop relationships with these players all the way back. Some you had before other places, but certainly since March, these guys have been on your roster. Talk about that a little bit, Raheem, and how difficult the next few days are.
It's always tough because you know how much these guys put into it. You know, we invested in those guys like they invested in us. We give those guys everything we got just like they give us everything that they have. And we got to have the ability to go out there and make those tough decisions. But the best way to do it is brutal honesty. The best thing to do is what's best for the Falcons, and the best thing to do is best for us winning. And those guys all understand that.
All right, man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
He said a tough one tonight. I mean, there was several good things going. How do you digest that? Because I know as quarterbacks, I played it too. Seems like we concentrate on only the things that didn't go well. Tell me about what you're thinking.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to, you know, living that way. We're just not consistent enough to, you know, we did a lot of really good things. Ran the ball really well at times, protected really well, made plays, and, you know, and then you have a negative or a turnover. And so just not consistent enough to be where we want to be.
Tell me about your mindset now. Obviously, we know that with Penix and Cousins, but you've played really well in the preseason a number of times in these three games. You played virtually all of it. So tell me where your mind goes as far as how this thing sorts out.
Yeah, it's just part of the business. We'll see what happens, but you don't have any regrets. You prepare and you play hard, and I had a lot of fun. We had a good group out there. Those guys were a lot of fun to play with. Gwinny, the guys up front, CB, it was a great group. So appreciate the good times, and you see what happens.
Well, we enjoyed watching you play, man. Yeah. Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Joined now by Felipe Franks, and Felipe, you're coming off a season in Carolina. You led them in special teams tackles. We knew coming in your ability to do multiple things stuck out. But how much have you tried to accentuate that this offseason or this training camp?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun because I got a lot of good moving parts around me with the coaching staff here, obviously, in Atlanta. I learned a lot from my brother just from the tight end standpoint. But, yeah, obviously special teams is a vocal point in what I do and what I take pride in. And then really just getting better at tight end. That's what it's been all about this offseason for me, just my blocking, my catching, everything to do with it. Just trying to get better at it. So.
Well, we saw that on display tonight. You had three grabs tonight, including pressure looks that get you the ball in the flat. To walk me through the play, and then, of course, the Superman dive into the end zone.
Yeah, first of all, like you said, I thought Stick did a really good job, like versus pressure, just getting the ball out. And then, I turned around, just kind of seeing green grass. And then, once you see that end zone, it's like you got to try to find a way to get in there. So, I just took a leap of faith. That's what it was. And so it was awesome though. It felt really good.
You made so many plays in college, both at Florida and at Arkansas, with the ball in your hands. I don't know that you'd had many opportunities for that much open grass. Did you kind of flow back to what you used to be?
Yeah, I mean, it felt good, like kind of just like college, man. Like if I seen green grass, I was gonna take it, and yeah, it just felt really good. Like all the guys excited, and that's what's more important to me, you know. And it was just fun. The whole kind of experience of it was really cool.
Yeah, your teammates really celebrated it with you. I think that was a lot of fun. All right, tell me about your mindset now. You've been through this routine before. Tell me about where you are mentally and what you're thinking about how this opportunity hopefully will come flourishing for you.
I think, like you said, you know, that's what it is. It's an opportunity. I say it every year that I've been in, and it's all it's about is just it's controlling what you can control, and one of the main things is just effort, just putting full effort on display, letting everything else take care of itself. And so it's the same message for me every year. I tell the young guys that if I get opportunity to talk to them, it's just taking advantage of your opportunity when they come and just going full out, controlling what you can control, and just let the rest play out.
A dynamic athlete who does a ton of stuff. We saw him score a touchdown from the tight end spot. But he's one of the best special teams players on the football team. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, Mr. Arch. Appreciate that.
Get a chance to catch up with our big-time punter, and this is one of the best in the National Football League, and Bradley Pinion. But, Brad, you don't just kick off or punt. You have to kick off as well. You and I have talked a little bit about that here, yeah, in the offseason. Tell me about some of the things you went through to kind of get ready to be better at the dynamic kickoff.
Yeah, it completely kind of changes the game for specialists. I mean, you don't necessarily want to hit the touchback anymore, which was one of my fortes. You more want to keep the ball in play and let your guys go to work, and then hopefully every now and then, like we did tonight, get some minor touchbacks where the ball hits inside the landing zone and then rolls into the end zone, or they take a knee in the end zone, or and that's really what you're looking for. Put your defense in the best situation possible, and it's kind of just changed the way that we practice it. You don't have to try to bang the ball anymore. You really get to work on placement and different types of kicks, different funky kicks, try to put the ball on the ground. It's a fun twist to the game that they've done.
Tell me about your excitement level now. You've got a number of guys. I don't know that I remember a team for the Falcons having as many name brand guys on special teams, whether it's Josh Woods, it's Kadarrell Hodge. Mike Ford is back on this football team. Tell me about your excitement level about what you guys can be as far as pinning guys on punt teams.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really exciting year. That's kudos to Terry and Ra and the staff here that went and got the guys on special teams, because special teams matters. It can win games for you and it can lose games for you. I mean, perfect example is last year against the Raiders. I mean, special teams undoubtedly won us that game with the two block kicks and pinning them inside the five a few times. And without the guys like Woods and Hodge and Mike Ford and even Felipe and with Liam and with Koo, I mean, we got a great unit and we're ready to go roll and we're ready to go take on whatever we can and help this team any way possible.
Yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to go with you here on this last thing is, now your mindset, I think everybody thinks about the quarterback thinking about this or Jesse Bates thinking about that. What's your mindset now as you get ready? You know the next time you go out there, it's Tampa and it's a divisional game.
Yeah, it's a lot more excitement, a lot more adrenaline. And the preseason's great to kind of hone in your craft and hone in how you want to call the game punting or how you want to call the game kicking off or how you want to do those things. But now it's time to unlock everything and let it roll and let it fly. And like I said, my main goal is just to help the defense and help the team any way I can. I want to be the best situational punter in the NFL. That doesn't mean always hitting the longest ball or when I might be going for fair catches or putting inside the 20. And that's my goal, just help the team any way I can.
I think you do that, no question about it. Bradley Pinion, one of the best in the game. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Back with you here on the Falcons Flyover. Chris Thomas, Turtle, hanging out till the top of the hour. So what about the other roster spots, right? Corner, is that job filled now? D. Alford, Natrone Brooks, are they going to make the team? I think Alford's a lock. I'm not so sure about Natrone Brooks. How about a guy like Xavier Watts? Is he going to start? Is Jordan Fuller going to start? He was listed the third and final preseason depth chart, came out on the Atlanta Falcons website this week, and Jordan Fuller was listed as the starting safety alongside Jesse Bates. So are they going to, quote-unquote, I'm putting air quotes up, start the vet and sit the rookie and have him come in situational packages and learn? I'm not entirely sure. There are a couple battles that next week it's going to be really interesting to see. Does a guy like Josh Brooks make the squad? He's been a real force on special teams. He had a huge hit tonight. He lays the wood, and he's done that in the games as well, playing at his linebacker spot. Linebacker depth, to me, is another question on this team. J.D. Bertrand, what is he going to be? Troy Anderson. Raheem Morris had an interesting comment this week about him potentially being ready for week one, potentially being ready for a situation where he could be on the field after not seeing action at all in the preseason and in the offseason, nursing injuries. That would be fascinating to me, but is he going to make the team? It sounds like it based off of those comments, but is Divine Diablo going to step in and be a remedy right away? It sounds like he's had a really good camp. He hasn't played in the preseason, so sounds like Raheem and his staff are comfortable with him being out there alongside Caden Ellis. And how about the Rooks? Neither one of them played tonight. If you were like, hey, Turtle, where's Jalen Walker? Where's James Pierce Jr.? They're not out there. They were chosen to be sat tonight, along with the majority of other players who were expected to see time. So what is their snap count going to look like in week one? is Jalen Walker going to be fully up to speed? Is he 100% back in football shape after having to miss some time? These are all questions that are going to have to be sorted out over the coming days and coming weeks, because week one's going to be here before we know it. We get a week off this week, and then the first game is the following Sunday. And 53-man roster cuts are going to be here in just a matter of hours at this point, and Ra's going to have a lot of tough decisions to make. How many defensive linemen are going to be there? Is Rook played tonight? That was an interesting decision. Zach Harrison played tonight. That was also an interesting decision. So what are the Falcons looking at in terms of some of their depth spots? You know, they're going to seemingly have this NASCAR-type package that they're going to be able to roll out there and have it be like, you know, fresh bodies in and out, in and out, in and out. Okay, so how many defensive linemen are you going to keep? Five, six, seven? And then how about wide receiver? That's wide receiver and nickel corner are probably the two most hotly contested and the two toughest decisions that Raheem Morris is going to have to make. Casey Washington didn't play at all this preseason. Seems like he's a guy that's going to be able to go out there and help the squad, especially if Darnell Mooney can't go. By the way, we still don't know what's going on there. Is he going to be ready for week one? I don't know. Is he going to be ready to go 100% if he is ready to go? I don't know. So here's the thing. When Ra comes down to making these decisions, it's about two parts, right? How many bodies per position do I want to keep and potentially sacrifice in other areas? And then what type of rotation do I want to use for those bodies? Safety room. Are DeMarco Helms, Jordan Fuller, Jesse Bates, Xavier Watts, are they all going to play? Sounds like it. DeMarco Helms had himself a heck of a preseason. He was really good. Wide receiver room. You going to keep six guys? I mean, there's an argument for seven. I had this conversation with Joe Patrick earlier this week. The designation at wide receiver for Jamal Agnew further complicates that situation. But you need a guy like Casey Washington if Darnell Mooney isn't going to be able to go. You may need a guy like Ray McLeod to step up if Darnell Mooney isn't ready to go. And he had a good camp. Obviously didn't play in the preseason as well. Man, if Kyle Pitts could give you anything, right, you would hope that if he can contribute something, that'll help mitigate if Darnell Mooney isn't ready to go week one. But who are the back end guys, right? Who's the back end guys that are going to make the difference at the back end of the roster? It seems like at this point, if I had to guess, David Sills, who I also believe didn't play tonight, as well as Casey Washington, are going to be the guys that are in. And I think that leaves guys like Drummond and Chris Blair and Nash, who have all been getting significant action in the preseason, looking on the outside in. But it's going to be really interesting. Dare the Falcons keep seven wide receivers? That's a lot. How many of these guys in the other aspect do you need to consider too? Like with a Jamal Agnew, he's there to be a special teams player. He's not really going to see the action at wide receiver. Same thing with Kadarius Hodge. Although it is funny that Kadarius Hodge did have a game-winning touchdown last year against Tampa Bay in that historic performance, but he's not a primary receiver. He's not a guy that's going to be out there getting major snaps and cooking up major, you know, plays for the Falcons offense. That's not his role. It's going to be guys like Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Ray McLeod, Kyle Pitts. That's your primary receiving core. But the guys behind that, it's interesting. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of guys that have shown out this preseason that have made you think, could I see this guy suiting up on Sundays? Nash was really, really good tonight. Drummond had a really, really good performance this preseason. Obviously, Chris Blair is Easton Stick's favorite target, so he got some work in as well. And for Raheem, it's about how many should we keep and then what should the rotation be? How many of these guys should see significant snaps, significant playing time, and put themselves out there to make the best decisions for the roster that they can? Because that's, again, that's Raheem Morris's job. That's what he needs to focus on, is putting the best product on the field. And does that mean sacrificing in the defensive tackle room to boost the needy wide receiver room? Does that mean keeping an extra linebacker? because you need depth there. These are all the decisions with the 53-man roster cuts that are coming down that are going to have to be made. And I'm just not entirely sure that after what we saw tonight that he's going to have an easy time configuring any of this stuff. There's a couple of positions that are definitely open. And then, of course, the elephant in the room is the offensive line. Starting offensive line, I think, is going to be okay, but they do need to figure out the McGarry situation, obviously. Backup offensive line, look, how many guys at this point in the preseason can you replace? It kind of is what it is. Your Hintons of the world, I think, are going to be there. Javon Gwynn, I think, is going to be there. I think you're looking at a situation where you're in sort of, you know, break glass in case of emergency mode now, trying to make sure that you have a backup swing tackle and you have a right tackle that you can trust in. If Elijah Wilkinson is going to be that guy, then you're going to have to work with what you got. Charlie Warner, I think, would be a lot more involved on that side of the ball as another primary blocker, and that's what he's here to do, and that's what he's good at. So, fine, if that's going to be his modus operandi, if Elijah Wilkinson's going to have to be in there for a couple of weeks, then so be it. But I'm just not sure how many options are going to be out there. Everything I heard this week on 92.9 The Game was, yeah, don't expect, you know, a starting caliber player, especially one that's as good as Caleb McGarry, to be out there. Those guys aren't out there. Why would a team get rid of them? Unless they're desperate for picks or for a player. You know, obviously Kirk Cousins comes to mind, but that's not realistic. You're not going to trade Kirk Cousins for a backup offensive lineman. Maybe if the team was willing to eat, you know, a great portion of his salary, maybe. But at the end of the day, I have a hard time thinking that that's realistic. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot to consider. There's a lot of things that are going to be on the table for the Falcons as they move past the preseason now, and all eyes are on Tampa Bay in week one. If you had to inject me with truth serum, how worried am I about the Caleb McGarry situation? Yeah, I'm worried. I'm not going to lie to you about it. Do I think it's crippling, season ending? You know, playoffs are now out the window. No, it's a next man up league, and the guys that are there are going to have to do their job. And whatever you need to do to make the offense run, running back chips, tight ends in line, you know, help on the outside, because a lot of the zone running scheme Bijan does goes to the right side. So maybe running more to Jake's side. The other option that we talked about this week was Matthew Bergeron. Do you take him where he played tackle in college and move him to right tackle? I don't know. That's two in the hand for one in the bush. And I don't love that theory necessarily, because then you're disrupting multiple parts of a very cohesive offensive line in order to try to save one spot, where if you leave him at his natural position now in the NFL, you're only trying to fill one. So it is an option. I think all things are going to be on the table and all things are going to be considered, but I'm excited for week one to get here. I can't wait for the regular season to talk to you at 404-726-0929. I still have high hopes. I still think this is going to be a really, really fun season for the Atlanta Falcons. This has been the Falcons Flyover on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app with Chris Thomas. Turtle, talk to you in a couple of weeks.